Hi, we're looking today at Vision Destiny 2017. This is session 5. I'm going to be sharing my journals, some of the conversations I've been having with the Father, and my journey to know the reality of God, who God is in 2016, and where that leads us into 2017. God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will reveal himself out of the doctrinal and theological wilderness of the old order. And so much of what I understood about God had come from what other people had said rather than personal relationship. And even that which came out of personal relationship, I was using to lean to my own understanding of that rather than my relationship of face-to-face intimacy with God. So what has God said? The words that he's spoken? What has God shown? Visions, pictures, dreams, encounters? You know, what does God mean by that? And it's important that we all engage God for ourselves to understand what he means. So what is the application for you? What is the application for me? And the application for the church here and for the application for the wider church, people who are listening to this around the world. I believe we're in for a wild ride of discovery. The very core beliefs that we might have held are going to be challenged by the extravagantly revealed love of God, who's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm expressing God that way because when we say God, what do we mean? Do we mean we're talking to the Father or the Son or the Spirit? Do we mean a distant deity who is the creator of everything but is not immanent with us? What do we mean when we say God? And when people hear the word God, what do they hear us saying through the filters of their own experience? So I'm talking about God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in relationship, and that's the relationship that they express. So as God reveals himself to us, it will be like first love all over again, discovering who he truly is. This is what the Father said, "Son, come walk with me." And he said this over and over again during the year. And my response is, "Well, where are we, Father?" And he would take me to places that I wouldn't recognize. And even though some of them I'd been there before, being where with him, and walking with him and walking with the Father just unveiled things like I'd never experienced before. Places, experiences, just went deeper. We're walking in the circle of the deep, within wheels. Because this was a place that I'd seen. The circle of the deep, the 12 chancers' houses, the alignment of those in what was, is, and will be. I've been there. I've engaged in those 12 chancers' houses. But now I was walking within the wheels within wheels of the circle of the deep. Never experienced that or seen that before. It is time that the ambassadors of the 12 ages took their places to align the ages now that the books have been opened and the convergence is taking place. Now, some of these things, just God said these. I'm not going to comment because I think it's up to us to engage this ourselves. On some of the things I will speak about, what I've been and what I understand, but God said this, and often he says things to provoke in me a desire to engage and to pursue and understand, well, what is it that you mean when you're talking about 12 ages? I know we're talking about 12 foundations and 12 stones and 12 various things, but 12 ages? Son, what do you see? I see 12 wheels. Around 12 thrones with 12 majestic ones, with 12 crowns and colors and sounds and fragrances and mysteries and stars and horns and bows and eyes and swords and trumpets and bowls. That's what I saw. Now, what does that mean? Well, we could look at all the biblical imagery, but we need to engage God for ourselves. Son, I will give you this scroll to unveil the mysteries of the 12 ages and the 12 laws that have converged for the alignment of the inner circle of the deep. Wow, the inner circle of the deep? The circle of the deep's got an inner circle? Son, call forth the ambassadors to come forth into their places for the beginning and the end and the beginning have converged in readiness for the unveiling of the third circle of the 12 dimensions. I'm calling my sons as chancellors and ambassadors to come into agreement with my judges for the restoration of the ages and the dimensions that have remained hidden but now are to converge. Son, as you walk with me, I'll unveil your eyes and unlock the recesses of your mind to understand the significance of all these things. Son, remember the quests of Enoch the Starwalker. You've been diligent, but now you must be vigilant to fulfill the task as they've brought you to this point. Now I will take you beyond, even beyond, to reveal the mysteries of the ages and the dimensions. The patterns within the patterns of the cube that will unlock the keys and the time of the ages and the dimensions are now to be unveiled and revealed. And I assume he was talking about Metatron's cube and the different dimensional perspectives of those 13 spheres. Son, remember the pool of forgetfulness where all memory of sin is to be removed. And I remember in the first encounters I had in heaven in 2010, I went to this place and I went into this pool with a waterfall cascading down. And it was like in this place, everything of the memory of anything that I'd done in the past just got taken away. And it was like it was taken as far as the east is from the west. So in other words, I could never get to it, which was an amazing place because I bathed in that pool. And now God was saying, come back. Now come deeper. See the 12 dimensional keys to unlock the 12s. So I went into that pool again and swam deeper and deeper into it. Only those who swim here and have pure hearts, pure minds, pure hands can take the keys. The keys look multidimensional, multifaceted, multicolored in nature. They weren't like normal keys. These were keys which had light functions, sound functions, just beyond. Son, come deeper. What do you see now? I see 12 doors to 12 portals that have been sealed. You will need the 12 keys and the 12 artifacts in the hands of the 12 ambassadors of the ages to open these doors. My ambassadors will need the 12 stages of purification to be able to open the doors for dimensional restoration. Son, keep walking with me, and true reality will be unveiled. Now, I'm at a loss when this sort of stuff happens when I first engage it, but my desire leads me to go back and to pursue and to engage. Now, I'm releasing it because I believe God will call many of you to engage in these sorts of things, so I'm just putting it out there for you. Come, be seated, and enter into new levels of rest in readiness for all that is about to come. Now, this is absolutely vital and key. If we strive after, or out of curiosity pursue, for the knowledge, for knowledge's sake, it will come to nothing. It must come out of rest. It must come out of a place of readiness, of being in that place of complete rest, so that actually, if I never knew any of that stuff, it wouldn't matter. So I'm in a place where I can receive rather than having to pursue because of a need to know. And it's very different from being able to be in a place of rest and being led into those things. Son, it's time to be proactive and challenge the existing order. Don't fear, for I am with you. Now, whenever God says don't fear, I see that there is a challenge coming. You will become visible and vocal as I shake the structures of men. The verdict has been passed and justice will create the opportunities for decisions to be made. I will shake the mountains of men because I love my people and desire them to be free from the ministries they have built in the wilderness. I will begin to challenge the false security that ministries have provided to draw my people back to me. The supplies will dry up and the rivers cease to flow. I love my people and I will expose the excesses of the false coverings that have been imposed on them. Son, do not be afraid of the backlash of men. Stay in the place of rest and peace. Trust me, son. Don't be intimidated. I will open doors that others will try and shut and I will open new doors. It is time to be proactive with your time and seek for my strategy for the East. Now, most of what I've done in engaging with people around the world physically has been in the West. You know, I've gone to the US, to Canada. Germany is the only really place that I've gone a little bit East. But God was really putting in my heart to go further into the East. Now is the time to be proactive for 2017. You can plot your course, look ahead and see. Most of what I've usually do is just wait and see what happens. But now God was saying, no, you need to begin to reach out. And this was a change in direction for me. Look, and you will see unity and a removal of the barriers that have been erected. Look and see what the marriage will bring. And we've entered into this marriage ceremony, a marriage relationship here on New Year's Eve. It will bring a place of peace and rest, an end to the struggles, and a new dimension of authority that will flow from the increased intimacy of oneness, that will release a new sense of destiny and identity. Now, as God spoke this to me last year, then I started to get invitations to come to the East, to New Zealand and to China and Borneo and other places out in the East. And I also felt I needed to not just wait, but to begin to decree and declare and call forth the opening of doors and opportunities. A new revelation of identity will spring forth from the security of the uniting of hearts and minds in the end of independence, which is again talking about a deeper intimacy with God, an unveiling of a new reality and your true destiny hidden in darkness. As you step out of the darkness of the cloud into the true light of my person, you can never be the same again. I will call you mine, and you will know what it is to be accepted. From an acceptance will flow inheritance and your true position within my heavenly courts and thrones. Now, when you hear me saying this, take it as God speaking to you. Because when God speaks to me as a forerunner of the Joshua generation, that means that those that are part of the Joshua generation can take what I say and embrace it for themselves. So when God says acceptance is coming, receive that as God speaking to you. As when God says there's going to be a flow that comes from inheritance, receive that for you. Along with your marriage and intimacy will come your investiture and enthronement. It is time to leave immaturity of your youth behind and embrace your coming of age. Son, it's time for my people to see the bigger picture so they can see their places within my purposes. It is time to stop looking at yourselves and seeing what you are not, and look at me and see what you are and who have you got to be and been destined to be. It is time to stop looking at the temporal and start looking at the eternal. Fix your eyes on me, where I am seated, and you will see where you're seated. Look to above and look from above, and you will no longer be grasshoppers, slaves, but true sons. Come take your places. I'm calling to my people to come. I'm issuing a new call to come. Let the forerunners resonate and reverberate that call out into the highways and the byways and into the wilderness with a new sense of urgency. In other words, there are a whole load of God's people who God is calling to come into a new understanding and a new experience and a new encounter of himself and beyond the veil in the realms of heaven. But are we urgent about that? Are we sharing that? Well, God is issuing us a call and a challenge to do so. If you come closer to me, into my heart, I will let you feel my love and compassion for my people who are lost without true identity as sons. Feel my heart and release my heart to call and gather my people to the Jordan, and I will pull back the veil so that they can see and enter in. Son, it's time for you to take a more prominent role as ambassador to the Joshua generation. Now, I stand before certain courts as an ambassador, and I represent the Joshua generation, and I call for legislation, I call for justice, I call for things to be done. I will release to you greater authority that will be needed to legislate for justice. I've given you the crystal of the Tree of Life that is a key that will open access to dimensional government. Now, this was something God gave me when I was engaging in a court, and he gave me this sort of crystal-looking thing which was shaped in this shape which is dimensionally like the Tree of Life. If you look up dimensional shapes that represent the Tree of Life, you'll see what it looks like. And it sort of appears in my hand when I go to certain courts. It contains manifold wisdom and grace aligned to the precepts, statutes, and laws that will converge time and eternity. So it carries something dimensionally of what life is in God. Son, the forerunners must take their eyes off themselves to look out and see and use this next season to release the call. Call to the Joshua generation to come forth. Increase the intensity of your calling as you feel my heart. God is passionately desiring his people to come into intimacy, into sonship, into heavenly positions of government, out of a position of rest in him. Don't let fear of being rejected stop you. They rejected me also. But some will hear the call and come, and they will continue the call. Multitudes, multitudes are coming to the valley of decision. I'm drawing them there, out from the coverings of men that stop them hearing with their own ears and seeing with their own eyes. Reach out to them, call out to them, have my compassion for them, and they will start to come. First a trickle from Jerusalem, but a stream and a river and a torrent will flow as you continue to expand your call to Judea, Samaria, the world beyond. Now, in a sense, I'm thinking of that from here as Jerusalem, from my own life as Jerusalem, and then expanding outwards into our area, region, and into the world. But take it for you, whatever your Jerusalem is, that there needs to be a call that draws people and draws and connects people. Son, do not be afraid. My people need to be renewed in their minds to embrace the responsibility of sonship. Challenge people to remove the constructs and limitations that are over their minds. I will release greater responsibility once the wedding has taken place. So once you've come into a consummation, you've gone through the garden and the dance floor and the soaking room, and you've come to that place of the bridal chamber, that deeper place of intimacy in your own life. For here, the wedding was a particular corporate thing that we did, but I think God is calling everyone to come into a new level of relationship and therefore responsibility. When you're single, you're independent. When you're married, you're no longer independent, you're no longer single, and therefore you have new responsibilities. You're no longer just a bride, betrothed, but you're now a wife, which is different. They need to be prepared for greater authority and greater responsibility and greater accountability. I call for the alignments of the circle of the deep. Now, I did this for a particular thing here, but you call it for whatever God is calling you to bring into order. The seasons that need to be prepared for your own life, your own benches, your own ecclesias, whatever it is that you're responsible for, you can use this basic way of aligning the circle of the deep. Now, don't just parrot the prayer or the declaration. Take it, meditate on it, and let it become yours for your alignment for the seasons in your life. I call for the release of the scrolls, discoveries, and new commissioning that will change the culture and affairs and release the resources to be a place of exchange. I call forth new strategy from heaven to be a city on a hill, to be salt and light, to arise, shine with the creative light and energy of heaven. I call for order, a new order to arise. I call for a new wineskin to be unveiled on a new scroll to be released, to release the discoveries of the mysteries hidden in darkness, to commission a new culture and change the affairs of the alliance to align with the precepts of God. I call for a new season to be prepared and made ready. I call for the sons of Issachar to discern the times and seasons and to release their wisdom for change and transition. I call for the alignment of what was with what is to release what will be, to fulfill what was from the eternal heart of God. I call for the release of the ordinances of heaven to remove and replace the old with the new. Son, the days of presumption and assumption are over. It is no longer acceptable to plead ignorance. Heaven is open and access to the Holy of Holies has been granted. There can be no excuse for not seeing what the Father's doing. A mandate established in heaven is required for my authority, anointing, and provision to be released. Don't presume that you know. Come and I will show you that you can administrate and bring governmental order in heaven so that it can be outworked on the earth. The days of childhood immaturity are over. It is time for my sons to arise and take their places and begin to release their light into the earth once again. Son, you have a mandate to engage these places that are open to establish new foundations under the law of new beginnings and to establish the crown of governmental authority over a nation. Son, don't be influenced by enthusiasm, but by those who have a mandate to invite you to the purpose of new beginnings and new government. In other words, I get lots of invitations to engage in things that basically God is saying, I need to hear a mandate to accept invitations. So I showed you the eternal nature of my love and my capacity for good. This is where God unveiled his desire to bring good out of every choice that every person who's ever lived and ever will live makes every second in the now of his presence. And he desires good to come out of all of them. He's not waiting for us to get it wrong so he can punish us. He's waiting for us to accept his wisdom and insight so good can come out of every, even our worst choices. I have been challenging your mind and exposing your religious assumptions and presumptions. You are now ready to let go of that which you have presumed because you know me more intimately. I'm about to shake the foundations of your understanding of the elemental teachings of Hebrews 6. Son, can you see the eternal nature of judgment? I've shown you the true nature of judgment, and now I want you to see the eternal nature of judgment. Judgment is a discerning to make a verdict or a decision, which then, from God's perspective, gives people an opportunity to choose. I do not cease to give opportunities for people to accept me and acknowledge me and choose life. The Lamb was slain before the fall of the world in what was, so that life could always be chosen because of eternal judgment. So it has always been, and so it always will always be. The eternal nature of judgment is eternal opportunity for life. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess me as Lord willingly. Son, be wise how you unveil this truth, as it will polarize many, but it is a truth that will be needed if the restoration of all things is to be accomplished, and my sons are called to plunder Satan's trophy room until it is empty. Some come with me to the golden mountain within my garden. Now, I've been here before a number of times, and I've been invited back, so I went. And son, here's Metatron. See the keys for the new seasons that he will give to unlock those seasons for nations. See, the key to the nation is the wheel within wheels within wheels. Areas are coming into agreement to form regions, each carrying a fragrance and a characteristic that create the whole. Each region being a blend of fragrances and characteristics that come together to reveal the nature of God in a nation. Son, the restoration of all things will come when the whole is the sum of all the parts, as all the families of the earth are one as we are one. Each key unlocks a regional relational connection that will become a point of the crown for each nation to fulfill is God's redemptive purpose within that nation as a whole. The areas are aligning so that the nations can align, so that nations can align, so that earth can align with heaven. Let me read that again. The areas are aligning. So this I saw for our own area. So that regions can align, so that nations can align, so that earth can align with heaven. Now, this is the same pattern. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. It's always expanding. It's always going out. But there are always wheels within wheels within wheels that connect relationally so that everything functions and moves together in oneness and in unity. And that's, you know, basically God's desire in these things. The alignment of the wheels within wheels will be like the alignment of what was and is to release what will be. I engaged Satan's trophy room and threw the door on Wisdom's Heights through fire. Now, I was standing there and engaging as I've done many times. And as I engaged, you know, I engaged the area where my family's heritage was robbed and on display. And I was shown this by Wisdom, and then I was shown this by the Father, and you know, now I was being shown it again. Now, I accessed through a door that I'd not previously seen. And what happened was, in this situation, I want to share this because Jesus took me to Wisdom's Heights and took me to the door with the fiery door and took me down the fire tunnel, and I engaged in Satan's trophy room. And when I walked into there with him, he gave me this silver trumpet. And we walked past various areas, and we walked to this specific area, which I know is an area of heritage. and I saw my four family lines there. And basically Jesus said, well, do you want to engage in your with your family lines? Now, I was not expecting that. And as I said, well, how? That's when he showed me a door. Now, I said to him, well, why have I never seen this door before? And he said, because you couldn't see it. It's always been here, but you couldn't see it because of what was covering your mind. And as my mind has been deconstructed, it's enabled me to see things that I hadn't seen before. So my desire was to engage my father's family line. Now, I didn't no idea what I was going to do, but Jesus opened this opportunity and door. So I thought, well, I'm going to take it. So I walked through with him and we were standing in the fire, in the flames. People weren't being tormented and tortured in there, but they were in a state of anguish. They were in a state of being perplexed. They were in a state of confusion. Some seemed to be in a state of regret, but they were all there. I mean, thousands upon thousands were standing there in the fire. I was standing there with Jesus. And I had to preach the good news of the kingdom, the love of God to those I heard. And I just shared the love of God. Jesus just stood there. You know, I felt uncomfortable in a sense because he was standing there, but I just released something out of me that called for the love of God to be released and for God to love and for people to experience that love, even though I didn't understand what I was doing. And I began to, in a sense, blow the trumpet. It was like Jesus then turned and walked out. And I thought, well, I'm not staying here on my own. So I walked out and followed him. But I felt called to help blow this heralding trumpet, this long sort of silver trumpet. And as I was doing that, we started to walk out. And we started to walk out back along this fire tunnel. And we go back and we're standing on Wisdom's Heights. And as I turn, it's like this whole door was like the fiery sword. You know, the fiery sword that was guarding the way to the Tree of Life. It was like this whole thing was twisting around. And as we were standing there looking, I saw people had followed me along this path and were standing at the fiery sword. And amazingly, they began to bow their knee and to cry out and call out that Jesus was Lord. And as they did that, they walked through that door. It was like I was able to lead those who responded to the sand back through the fire and out through that door and along the ancient path to the draw to Zion in the city of God. And they just walked along this path and went into the city of God, and I didn't see them anymore. And I was standing there with Jesus. And I mean, this is an amazing thing, you know. And as they left, they became part of the cloud of witnesses. It was like they were receiving a mantle of sonship. I mean, this was beyond anything I'd ever encountered or experienced before. But in my spirit, I knew this was a demonstration that love never fails, that love never gives up, that God continues, as he'd spoken to me before, to enable people to choose, that death is not the end of choice. God gives us free will to choose, but death does not end that choice. Now, I've been debating sort of some of these things and talking about some of my experiences and where God has been unveiling this to. And I know a number of people, you know, they just don't accept that. And it will polarize opinion in many ways. But I did ask, you know, show me a scripture that says that the choice to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life ends at physical death. And even those who are strong proponents of, you know, eternal punishment and this sort of Dante's infernal view of hell couldn't give me a scripture. All they could give me was man is appointed once to die and then the judgment. But their view of judgment is already tainted by their view of what it is. That judgment as already means it's God's discernment based on what happened on the cross. And that gives people choice. And eternal judgment means that it goes on. And the word eternal actually means age enduring. It doesn't mean forever and ever in the way we think it means. It means age enduring from the Greek enios. So in a sense, it's like the choice continues, but it is free will. God never overrules our free will because of the love he has for us and the high esteem he holds us in as his creations. He continues, though, to give us that free will. And so when people die, having not known Jesus, they don't escape justice because there are consequences to dying without knowing Jesus. You don't get a free pass to go and spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. You know, it's like, I'm not a universalist. I don't believe everyone is automatically saved without choice. But I do believe that we're all included with Christ. So if anything, I would say I'm a hopeful inclusionist in that I believe that through the cross, we're all included in Christ, and being included in Christ gives us an opportunity to discover where we already are. But we have to do that by acknowledging Jesus and receiving him as Savior and Lord and bowing our knee to acknowledge that. It isn't automatic. And I would hope that everyone would eventually make that choice through the ages, but there's no guarantee. So I can't say that everyone will be saved. All I can say that God has saved everybody, but not everyone accepts that salvation. But I believe that choice continues. And I'm hopeful that everyone would want to receive that salvation, but I can't guarantee that. I don't know, because I'm not them. But I have experience going to my own family line and preaching the good news and sharing the good news with them. And some followed me out and some didn't. And no, I was very surprised at that. So, you know, as they bowed the knee and confessed that Jesus was Lord to the glory of the Father, they walked through the fire. They walked through. They renounced their allegiance to darkness, where they were translated out of darkness into the light through the fiery sword that guards the door to the ancient path to the tree of life. That's what I saw. That was my experience. That's what God showed me. Jesus was standing there with me, no different from many of my other encounters. But this was profoundly affecting what I believed. Now, obviously, cognitive dissonance means your encounters challenges your beliefs. And my theology and my doctrine about these things, you know, were challenged by my experiences, encounters of God as love. And then I began to see the real translation of the Word of God meant that some of the words and some of the things that I'd seen translated hell and torment and other things have other translations when you go back to the original Greek language and how it was used in common Greek. You know, and we have put on it something which is, I believe, a subsequent thing. And the early church and the early church fathers, their predominant view was one that we're all included in Christ. You know, that the whole world has been reconciled to himself, that if he is lifted up, he will draw the whole world to himself. So I believe that the cross has been a victory over death. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And therefore the wages of sin, which is death, has been overcome through the cross. And now, death, where is your sting? So death is not the end. Death is a transition into a new beginning. But for those who are with Christ, we go directly into the relationship with him in that realm. Now, I'm in this realm, living in that realm. There are those who are in that realm as the cloud of witnesses, as the men in white linen, who function in that realm. But God is continually calling people. And if you go to the very end of Revelation, it's like her doors are never shut. It's like the Spirit and the bride say, come. And they're still saying, come. They're calling, come to those who are still in this realm. They're calling those to come who are those who are in the fire. In a sense, God is a consuming fire. Those people are within God himself, experiencing that consuming fire. The word fire, which in Greek, P-U-R, is where we get purify from. And that fire is to continue purifying that which was hindering people being and accepting who they are in Christ and realizing that they've been included in the salvation that Jesus accomplished on the cross. So I asked him, you know, why not everyone came out? And I realized, you know, there are others from my family's line, my mother's family line, you know, my mother's father, my mother's mother, you know. You know, I've been back to engage all four of those family lines now and preach the good news and led those who were in captivity into freedom through them accepting Jesus and acknowledging him. And I asked Jesus, well, why didn't everyone come? And he basically, his answer was, the degree in which you've embraced the fire of the altar, Isaiah 6, you know, and I present myself on that altar every day. The degree in which that fire has touched the things within your family line and purified and refined them in you is the degree to which you have authority to preach the good news in that realm. So I have more fire to embrace in my own life. I have more purification in my own life. And let's face it, all of us have to go through fire. You know, whether we go through the judgment seat of Christ and see the wood, hay and stubble burnt up and been there and done that and been back there a number of times to see my scroll purified by the fire of his eyes, burning in love. We all have to go through fire, and fire is not to destroy. In fact, fire does not destroy. Fire just changes the nature of something into something else. Nothing can ever be destroyed. And as beings of light, we cannot be destroyed. We are immortal in that sense. So in a sense, you know, as I've seen this whole era of heritage, you know, it's essentially restoring previous generations into our generation. I thought it was going to be about restoring that previous generation and I was going to get everything rolled into one, but it isn't. It's about now that whole, the men in white linen are filled with another generation. They have ages to come to fulfill their destiny. They've missed out on their earthly destiny. They've missed out on the wonder of living in relationship with God now, but their eternal destiny goes on. Basically, God said this, Father said this, Son, now allow the religious constructs of men to fall from your mind. So it hot can truly know me and the depths of my love, you know, and the heat and the depth of that is all about God revealing himself in a way. The fire consumes the coverings of the path of the knowledge of good and evil. The fire purifies the hearts and souls of men, but they must hear the good news. Who will go for us? Here am I, send me. You know, is that our response? Do we want to be sent into this world with the knowledge and the good news? Are we willing to go into the fire of our generational line and embrace it? Son, the doctrines of demons disguised as men must be purged by the fires of transformation from the minds of my people. Now is the season where the presumptions and assumptions must be challenged and the truth revealed by fire. Son, continue to embrace the flames of the altar and your mind will be purified so that you can experience the true knowledge of who I am. Son, it's time for the physical outworking of the river of life. Next year in the ecclesia, I will manifest the light and the flow of heaven, and there will be glory on display. Son, prepare to administrate the flow as it will be through my people and through from the everlasting doors. It is time to clear the atmosphere over the whole footprint, open the ancient doors for glory. Now, the footprint there is about our sphere of government, but you know, decree this over your own sphere of government. Embrace the fire and administrate the fire to be ready for a new level of intimacy that will become evident. The trickle will become a flow as the river of my presence increases in depth. I repent from the demonic doctrines infesting the church and keeping us from the truth. I embrace the fiery sword and ask for the judgment of my mind and thoughts and my values and my beliefs. Judge my mind by fire, Father. Purge the religious doctrines that the enemy has sown into the fabric of my consciousness. I have been a man of wrong thinking amongst a people of wrong thinking. I repent and renounce the constructs and limitations that have been covering my mind. I see now that I can not just stand before the flames with a sword, but I can enter the flames with the fiery sword of truth. I can loose the bonds of wickedness and let the oppressed go free. The revealer of the sons of God will answer the groans of those in bondage to corruption and release them into the freedom of the glory of sonship, as it says in Romans 8. The restoration of all things must take place. Captivity must be led captive into the glorious freedom. Son, I'm the precedent for you. Look at what I did and where I went, and you will be able to bring my people out of darkness into my glorious light. Son, you've been called to judge the angelic realm. What would you do to bring justice? Could you forgive and release even your greatest enemies and persecutors? Well, that's a challenge. Son, will you allow me to renew your mind so that you can think from the perspective of pure love, from what was, so you can be fully directed by pure love in what is, so that pure love will triumph in what will be? Son, yes, my justice is restorative and not retributive. My judgments are based on my desire for relationship, and my justice is a continual opportunity for the restoration of that relationship. The wages of sin of death, but the gift that is available through the victory of the cross over death is abundant and unlimited life. Restoration will continue until all things have been restored, and physical death, which has already been defeated, cannot stop that process. Son, you've been in my heart and mind. You've experienced pure love at its very essence, and how that motivates the workings of my mind to produce good out of the worst of choices. Son, I created you for love, to be loved, and to live for love's expression. As I am, so are you to be in the world, an expression of what always has been between me. I am Father, Son, and Spirit. Son, your journey to me has been long, but now you can go further and faster. I will strip away the constructs and limitations of your mind so that my mind can be revealed. Then you will be able to create reality as a son. The limitations and restrictions and reductions are being lifted from your consciousness so that the powers of the ages to come can be unveiled. Now again, we have an opportunity of embracing this. An opportunity to embrace what God's doing, what God's saying, to encounter God, to perhaps allow God to come into our minds, perhaps to allow him to take us deeper and deeper into him. So let's just activate that. Again, I'd encourage you to close your eyes wherever you are. See that ladder going up into the realms of heaven. By faith, take a step. That door open in heaven. Hear the invitation to come up here. Step through the veil into the realm of the kingdom, that Jesus, standing there waiting for us, we present ourselves to you as a living sacrifice, you who are our high priest. We willingly embrace the fire of your presence to experience the depth of your love. We surrender our agendas and our will to yours. I just ask, Lord, that you would take each person by the hand, that you would lead each person into a new level of relationship and depth of relationship with you. Just take us through the veils of the way and the truth and the life. Bring us deeper and deeper and nearer and closer to you. Bring us before the ark of your presence, as we stand in the presence of the four faces of God. Our desire is for your will and purpose to be unveiled in our lives. Just open up our hearts, write on the tablets of our heart, reveal and unveil our identity, our destiny, our mandate. Oh, lead us to the Father. Take us into him. Just step in to his name, into the four faces, into his identity. Just let him take you to a new place of rest. Walk with him on those ancient paths. Allow him into the very recesses of your mind, perhaps to reveal and unveil those constructs and restrictions and limitations. Father, just lead each of your people to that place where they need to be. Perhaps even into the very depths and recesses of their own mind. Unveil the paths. Reveal the constructs. Just unveil a deeper, deeper reality of the wonder of who you are. Remove the limitations and restrictions. Reveal those constructs of man. Father, just unveil a deeper, deeper sense of your presence and rest. Just take each person deeper into you.